Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Faster May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 22nd of June 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person. Good news day, day 33 of no new confirmed cases of C19. Schools are back, 93% of primary, 70% of secondary pupils in the classroom. A borders opening roadmap's on the way later this week, and the pubs were open for the weekend, so how was it? Competition for Manx gas, the issue's now been raised, and the island's only marathon and half marathon races are now on.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Ed Oldham.
Faster Mai, the island has now recorded a 33-day streak of no new COVID-19 cases. Chief Minister Howard Quayle made the announcement at the latest government media conference. He also said that the island will exit its state of emergency in the coming days, but said that the borders will remain closed for the time being. The coronavirus will have a big impact on hospital waiting lists for potentially more than a year, from the Health Minister David Ashford, who made the comments while speaking live on Manx Radio's Man in Line earlier today. The cost of sending mail to the United States is to increase from late July. The Alaman Post Office is changing the current prices following the Universal Postal Union's settlement on new tariffs imposed by the American government. Prices will rise from the 20th of July, with a new guide explaining the rates published on the 6th of July. Further afield, the 2.2 million people in England who are shielding have been told they can stop doing so at the end of July. Before that, they'll be able to meet others outdoors in groups of up to six and form so-called support bubbles from 2 weeks today. Boris Johnson's discussing easing lockdown measures and cutting the two-metre rule in England. He's been meeting ministers and advisers and is expected to make an announcement tomorrow. 15 more people have died in the UK after being diagnosed with COVID-19, the smallest daily number since mid-March. And the Home Secretary told MPs the threat of terrorism posed by lone actors is growing. Priti Patel's praised police after their response to a Saturday's stabbing attack in Reading, in which three people were killed. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you. Ed, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish Sea Weather indicating gales out at sea. Cloudy, misty and wet this evening on the island. The south-southwesterly will ease during the night. The overnight minimum 12 degrees. Feeling a lot colder than that, though. Jemerts, Tuesday, misty and wet to kick off with. It will dry up in the afternoon with bright intervals. The strong south-southwesterly will lessen during the day. And we're up to 18 degrees Celsius. Dry and cloudy overnight into Wednesday, down to 13 degrees. Ukraine, dry and cloudy to kick off with, then sunny intervals and light breezes up to 21 degrees Celsius on Wednesday. Low waters at 19 minutes past 7 tonight. Sunset 5 to 10. Of course, the summer solstice has been and gone, and we're on the way down. High water 11 minutes past 1 a.m. Sunrise 14 minutes to 5 tomorrow morning. Low waters at 16 minutes to 8. And the afternoon high tide tomorrow at 16 minutes to 2.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
All the Isle of Man schools are now open, and at today's government media conference we heard from the Education, Sport and Culture Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson. He revealed that 93% of primary school pupils are back in the classroom, 70% of secondary students are there too. He outlined some of the new measures in place.
Schools are about so much more than books and homework. We recognise the power of play and how important social interactions are for mental well-being. Over the coming weeks, teachers will be working with their classes to listen to their lockdown experiences, bring them back into a structured routine, and reassure them about their futures. Some pupils have missed out on important parts of their education and will need help and encouragement to catch up. Others may have actually enjoyed the experience of learning at home, of spending more time with their families, and having the space to reflect on what is really important in life. Schools have altered to deal with the viral pandemic, extra hand-washing facility has been set up, and there is clear guidance that if any pupil is unwell or experiencing any symptoms such as high temperature, new persistent cough, or loss of sense of taste or smell, they should stay home and contact the 111 advice line. Extra cleaning schedules have been brought in, and catering staff have been redeployed to help with this important role to keep our schools even safer. Because of this, packed lunches will be offered by schools rather than a full cooked meal for the next few weeks. Many schools have brought in more flexible uniform policies given the current situation and will work with families to ensure their children can experience the education in as normal an atmosphere as possible. I would encourage all pupils to return to their classes. Your teachers have been looking forward to being able to welcome you back. They have missed you. But I'm aware that a small number of pupils won't be able to return due to medical conditions or anxiety. Please contact your head teacher so that they can support you.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Good evening. It's 24 minutes to six. So when are the borders going to reopen? Well, a borders roadmap will be published later this week by the government. Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford was live in the Man in Line studio earlier today, and he told me any reopening will depend largely on our neighbours.
Obviously, if the risk profile in the UK drops on your neighbour, and obviously we've got to remember we're right by the northwest of England, which is still struggling in many respects to control the virus, we'll make decisions around that. And there is due to be a borders roadmap published later this week, I hope, where the public will be able to see the various different stages in our Stay Safe document as to how we plan to slowly but surely release the borders over time.
What about flights to Northern Ireland and the Republic?
So obviously we've got to look at this from a commercial point of view for the airlines. At the moment, with border restrictions and limited passenger numbers, it's around whether or not it's commercially viable for the airlines to do so. If the airlines came forward with proposals to do so, there'd be nothing to stop them. But I think from a commercial airline point of view, there perhaps isn't that commerciality yet for them to be willing to reintroduce flights direct to the Republic of Ireland.
So here's the million-dollar question. When will the borders open?
Well, like I say, Andy, there's a roadmap being published later this week, and I'm not going to steal the thunder of the roadmap document. You're going to have to wait and see that. And there is a set of criteria against that. As I said, we're not going to go, as with most of the things we've done, we're not going to go from borders closed to borders open. It'll be a phased approach based on what's happening in the UK. And in relation to that question, I need to make absolutely clear there is no intention of going straight to open borders. I don't think that would be sensible with the situation in our near neighbours at the moment, and I think that would be a great risk to the island. It will be a staged approach, and from the roadmap document people will be able to see the criteria as to what we will do at each stage and what criteria the UK would need to be at for us to do that.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next departure from the Isle of Man, tomorrow's 9 o'clock sailing, Mananan heading for Heysham, arriving there at about 11:15. Then she heads back to the island at 3 o'clock from Heysham, arriving at about 5:15. The fast craft Mananan continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. The motor ship Ben McCree provides our overnight freight service.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
It was a busy weekend for many Manx people. For the first time in months, you could go to the pub. And people certainly came out in numbers right across the Isle of Man. Manx Radio's Alex Watton spoke to Sergeant Alan Shimmin, head of the police's alcohol unit, to see how it went.
It was certainly busy out. As you say, there was lots of people out and about and having a great time, which was lovely to see. And we had a lot of colleagues doing a lot of pub checks, and they were welcomed by those in the licence and trade. Didn't mind the police officers coming in and saying hi and sitting down and conversing with their customers. And it was a good positive engagement going on. In terms of any issues, there were some issues, but they were very minor. I certainly wouldn't say they stood out in particular as any other normal weekend, if I could say that. Yeah, no, everyone was relatively well behaved, and there were some good spirits out there, pardon the pun.
Was it slightly reassuring then? Because, of course, with such a long time not allowed out, there was probably a concern that people would have maybe gone overboard.
Yes, there was always that concern. And we're always going to be worried about people that are just not quite used to having a drink and having a bit of a party atmosphere. And, you know, these are the type of things we plan for the Christmas period and obviously the TT. But with such a long gap and being able to go out and catch up with your mates, it was like, hopefully, and fingers crossed, nobody goes out and does anything silly and goes a little bit too overboard. So we prepared for it, we planned for it, and it was all about getting some early engagement with the licensing trade and the security staff and just make sure we're all wanting the same thing. We all want it to be busy out, but we all want people to go home and end up in their own at home and safe and not end up in the cells or in the hospital, because the emergency services have had a hard enough time already and they just don't want to add to any more burden to it. So, but it ended up relatively well, apart from a couple of minor incidences.
Did anyone end up in the cells?
There was a few people in the cells that woke up and should be very disappointed in themselves. But I wouldn't say it was anything of significance in terms of numbers in the cells and as per a general normal weekend. It could have been a great deal of demand, but thankfully it wasn't too bad, and hopefully that will be the same this weekend.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Scandal-hit payments firm Wirecard says that the €1.9 billion missing from its accounts may not exist. The Bavaria-based payment processor and financial services provider offers its customers electronic payment transaction services and risk management, and it issues and processes physical and virtual cards. It has licenses from Visa and MasterCard and contracts with American Express, Discover, Diners, JCB, WeChat Pay, Apple Pay and China Union Pay. Wirecard's chief executive left last Friday as the search for the missing cash, €1.9 billion, hit a dead end in the Philippines yesterday, when the Central Bank of the Philippines said none of the money has entered the country's financial system. Wirecard is withdrawing its financial results for 2019 and the first quarter of this year. The owners of Go Outdoors are preparing to call in the administrators in the UK as the coronavirus pandemic pushes the high street retailer to breaking point. JD Sports owns Go Outdoors and said in a statement it had looked at options for Go and had decided to start administration. Go Outdoors employs 2,500 staff across 67 stores and specialises in camping equipment, bikes and clothes. The Manchester-based JD Sports Group bought Go Outdoors in 2016 for £112 million, but it struggled in recent years, and four store closures under the lockdown have further exacerbated the problems.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as investors continue to monitor a surge in coronavirus cases in the United States. US stocks were mixed as investors weighed the strength of the economic recovery against rising virus infection rates. Oil was steady, supported by tighter supplies from major producers, and gold higher too as investors took refuge in safe haven metals. In corporate news, BA and Iberia parent International Consolidated Airlines traded low following reports the company could be looking to raise 1.5 billion sterling of fresh cash. Miner Glencore lost ground after saying late on Friday it was facing a Swiss probe over alleged corruption. Outsourcer Capita traded higher after announcing late on Friday it's preparing to sell off its education software business. And the numbers at 5 o'clock in London, the FTSE 100 was down 0.75% at 6,244. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.5% at 12,262. In New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial flat at 25,871, and the tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, up 0.5% at 9,989. In Chicago, the S&P 500 flat at 3,100. And in the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is worth $1.24.4 and €1.10.5. And commodities, gold up 1% at $1,759 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude up 1.75% at $42.64.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
It's 5:45 on Update Live from the Isle of Man. Should the Manx government introduce competition into the market for gas on the island? The proposal was raised in Tynwald at this month's sitting, where a new regulatory deal with Manx Gas was on the agenda. Ewan Gawne with the details.
The energy company, which has a monopoly on the island, is in the process of trying to agree a new regulatory deal with government. Some, including Rob Callister, MHK, are in favour of creating another provider in the market to rival Manx Gas.
I personally have always been a very passionate supporter of maybe the Manx utility stepping in and actually putting a bit of competition in that sector and allow people the options to either pick Manx Gas or pick Manx Utilities
Would that drive the prices down, do you feel, the consumer?
Yes, I feel it would. And I think it would open up the markets. If we only have to go back 10, 15, 20 years, when we used to have one provider with Manx Telecom, suddenly we found our bills significantly reducing once Shure came in and there was a bit of competition in there. We are a small island. We've got only a limited number of people who live here. But having some element of competition can only be good for the consumer.
Onkin MHK Rob Callister. Well, Chris Thomas was in charge of the negotiations for a new deal with Manx Gas before he was sacked last month from the Council of Ministers. He doesn't agree that competition would be a good thing.
Ultimately, whenever you've looked at this, it would cost about £30 million to actually change assets. We'd be nationalising the assets that are already in the ground. So there are certain industries, and already Manx Gas is about 40 times smaller than any other provider of gas. So the idea that we have two gas providers is an absolutely ridiculous notion. And in fact, it hasn't worked for telecoms. When we've got gas sorted out, I'm moving on to telecoms. The amount of money that Manx Telecom is earning on the fixed infrastructure in telecoms is also too high. And so watch that space.
Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas. Tynwald members agree that government should try and seek a deal with Manx Gas ahead of the next sitting of the court in July.
Manx Radio Sport.
6:13, Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai, there may be no TT, Southern 100 or Festival of Motorcycling thanks to coronavirus this year, but the island will once again be graced by the roar of motorcycle engines shortly. Andrus Racing Association has an ACU test day lined up for this coming Sunday, that's the 28th of June, at Jerby Motodrome, with race meetings planned for the weekend of the 11th and 12th of July. Entries for the test day close on Thursday this week. Forms and more information can be found on the association's website. Further afield, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola admits none of his focus is on trying to catch Liverpool. They'll give the Merseysiders a chance to seal the Premier League title on Wednesday night if they don't beat Burnley later. Brighton and Arsenal have been warned about their conduct following their Premier League match on Saturday. Arsenal's Matteo Guendouzi clashed with Neil Maupay at full time but won't face any retrospective action. He was among a number of visiting players upset about Maupay's earlier challenge with goalkeeper Bernd Leno. Frankie Dettori will ride the favourite English King in next month's Derby at Epsom. The Italian was the leading jockey at last week's Royal Ascot Festival. The Derby has been moved to July and will be run behind closed doors because of the coronavirus pandemic. And Formula One has followed Lewis Hamilton by setting up an equality and diversity task force. Six-time champion Hamilton confirmed yesterday he was launching a commission to help make the motorsports industry more inclusive. F1 chief executive Chase Carey says they'll be accelerating efforts to fight inequality.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
From Ronald's Way, the no departures or arrivals, of course, from Heathrow now. We're London City, so the 4:30 to London Heathrow went about 5 minutes late. The 4:50 to Liverpool left 10 minutes, now maybe 20 minutes late. So the inbound from Liverpool at 6:40 may be a little delayed. Inbound from London City is at 8 o'clock tonight. Look out at the Ballacrane traffic lights. Interruption City there at the moment. Four-way traffic lights. Apparently, you have to take a picnic. Doon School by the main road there. Two-way traffic signals for drainage work. Also at Athol Park in Port Erin, it's closed between Drodfell Royal and Drodfell Park for replacement of a gas main. Two-way traffic lights in Groudle by King Edward Road. Look at it also at Glen Alden for two-way traffic signals for stone wall repairs. Remember, closed, the Broadway is closed between the Prom and Derby Road for Douglas Promenade renovation till the 20th of October at least, and Douglas Promenade one way until the 14th of December. All the information at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. And remember, on the community page, a page of 18 webcams. Will you see much tonight? Not much.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions 670145.
In 2018, a former tenant living in the public sector housing was evicted for rent arrears of £300. 8 months later, Mr. H, as he's known, was found dead in his privately rented flat. It prompted a review by the Alamance Safeguarding Board, published last month, finding gaps in communication between various agencies. Our local democracy reporter, Aaron Ibanez.
It's very important that people understand that these reviews are not investigations.
Following the release of the first serious case review for an adult on the island, Glenys Johnson, chair of the Safeguarding Board, insisted that it was not concerned with disciplinary matters, but more about learning from failings. A lack of coordination, a lack of consistency to approach, and confusion over data sharing were just some of the shortcomings prior to the death of Mr. H. Douglas Borough Council, which provides over 2,000 homes in the capital, declined to comment when approached about the review's findings. But for the former head nurse at Nobles, Linda Radcliffe, who is now the chief executive at Onken Commissioners, greater partnership is required.
I think there's been a recognition across local authorities and working in partnership with the DOI that there has been, in the past, elements of vacuum going on. I think there's still issues in relation to our engagement with the Department of Health and Social Care and where that fits in relation to vulnerable tenants, and we need to understand exactly what the DHSC want to happen rather than them relying on the tenant being the communicator with us.
Julie Edge is the political member for housing at the DOI, which holds the island's second largest public housing stock. How does she feel then that it took the death of a former public housing tenant to expose these shortcomings?
Very sad, you know, and obviously none of us want to see that. No housing provider would want to see that. I think the most important thing really, and hopefully that everybody will take out of this, is that there are individuals involved, and we need to make sure the right processes and guidance are in place to eliminate anything happening in the future.
The 10-page document sets out a number of recommendations which would protect the vulnerable and ensure effective shared working amongst the relevant agencies and the third sector. Along with a landlord's registration bill, the review proposed that government look at bringing in a homelessness bill because the lack of affordable housing is putting higher numbers of people at risk.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Time to get your running shoes on, an event unique to the Manx running calendars going ahead next month following the removal of COVID-19 restrictions. The island's only marathon and half marathon are both taking place on Sunday the 9th of August, with organisers keen to drive up interest after previously fearing the event would be cancelled. Now, there'll be no off-island entrance at this year's contest, though, which is sponsored by Microgaming. The organiser, Phil Motley, explained to Ewan Gorn.
Quick description of the course, if I may, Ewan.
So of course, yeah.
Runs up to Bride, up Bride Hill, which second time round is quite hard for the marathon runners, I do know, and out to Andreas, St Jude's Crossroads, and back to Ramsey. So that's one lap for half for a marathon and two laps for the full marathon.
Have you run the course, Phil?
I have. I did do it once quite a while ago now.
What's it like?
For the half marathon, it's brilliant. It's a bit of a climb up Bride Hill, but that's after 2 or 3 miles, so you're kind of warmed up by then. And then once you turn left at the crossroads there, it's kind of level or downhill pretty much all the way. So I would say it's a nice course. It's undulating with one little climb, one decent climb, but it's early and the rest of the course is flat. So you've got the advantage, I think, you're coming back in on from St Jude's, that's totally flat. And the thing as well is we've got marshals out round the course supporting the runners. Some spectators go out to support as well. There's a drink station every couple of miles, so you're well supported and we hope safe on the road. So it's a nice one to do. The drawback, if I say so, is that the numbers are not as great as obviously if you go across to do a city marathon.
So how important is it, as you mentioned the numbers, how important is it in the Manx calendar to make sure there is a marathon?
Well, I think it's pretty crucial as a runner, as a road runner. I think like a marathon is what a lot of people aim to achieve. Some just to do one, others to race a good time. You know, there's a lot of leeway there for just a challenge. If you perhaps haven't only just started up running to do a marathon, or to be competitive at the front end of the field and to come into the stadium as a winner, you know, that's I think it's a good thing to aim for. And to have a championship, I think it would be a shame if we did not have an Ironman Marathon Championship. You know, this has been running since, I think, 1970s, so it would be a shame if it didn't happen. And that's why we're delighted that with the government easing the restrictions, we're able to go ahead this year.
So circle that date in your diary, Sunday the 9th of August. And that's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back tomorrow evening at 5:30. Stick around. After the news, Agenda, our political programme with Ewan Gorn at 6:30. Greatest Hits with Chris Pearson, featuring the coronavirus update at 7 o'clock. Time for Brass is On with Ian Cottier at 9 tonight. The Late Show with George Ferguson at 10. And remember, Update's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, smart speaker or Spotify. The details at manxradio.com.